Welcome to Summit Church. Here, we strive to be a church where you can belong long before you come to believe. At each of our locations, we worship together, learn and grow together, serve together, and form relationships around a common purpose, to inspire people to find and follow the way of Jesus. Join us in listening to this week's sermon.
As some of you may know, my name is Dan Sherfield, and I'm the Connect Director here, which means I help people at Summit connect with their next right step. And this series is all about connecting and serving. So although I don't teach very much, this is right in my wheelhouse. The reality is, Michael last week walked us through the theological reasons why we should be connecting and serving. And today, we're going to talk more about the praxis. I'm more the praxis guy. What does this look like for us lived out in our lives? So up front, I want to acknowledge that some of this teaching today is really going to be about asking you to be part of something. And you could have the tendency to hear me say that I'm asking you to do something. And that's kind of what churches do, right? They're always asking you to do something each week that's like, hey, you should do this. Maybe you could do that. And it's something that I'm not doing. And going into this busy fall season, the start of school and sports and the NFL season and Premier League for us proper football fans. And then the holidays come up. The last thing we all need is something else to do. But I'm going to ask you not to tune me out. Lean in instead, because I want to ask you to consider, instead of doing something, that you would become part of something so that God can do something. Let me say this again. I want to ask you to consider, instead of doing something this fall, that you would consider being part of something so that God can do something. What we're inviting you into, it won't work if you just do it. There's too many good things to do in our world, and you could rattle off many things that you've already been asked to do, probably as you're getting prepared for everything you have going on this fall. But at various points in our life, we've been invited to be part of something. We've been told, like, you're already here, just get involved. It'll make the experience so much better. I'm sure all of us have some memory as we were getting ready for high school, maybe in those first days and as a freshman, and somebody came in front of us, a student who said, don't just do high school, be part of it. They said, join this club, be part of the yearbook, join a sports team, just get involved, become part of the high school. And if we've lived enough life, we've realized that that was actually really good advice. But often that person standing in front of us also said, and I'm the class president, and I'm the captain of the volleyball team, and I'm also part of our yearbook committee, and I do this, and on Friday nights, I even serve at the animal shelter. And we think, whoa, that's not for me. I don't have time for that. And that might be your response too. I don't have time for that. But here's a truth. The reality is, all of us, yes, all of us, have 168 hours in a week. 8,736 hours in a year. None of us get a minute more or a minute less. Yet some of us feel more constrained for time. And let me tell you this, I have 5 kids, a beautiful wife. My kids are all high-level athletes. They're engaged socially. They do school. They do extracurricular things. I know what a full schedule feels like. So I understand. So why would it be true that we should all still consider being part of something as we go into this season? Well, first, let's revisit what Michael talked to us about last week. Michael talked us through Jesus' words in Matthew when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. To summarize, love God and love others. Or we can say connect and serve. As followers of Christ, we should love God. Love our neighbor, period. Lived out, we should connect and serve. And if you've been on social media lately and Summit social media's page, I would say we should connerve. Now, if you haven't seen that, that's not as funny to you. So I'm gonna just challenge you to go check it out. It's a really good one. Michael challenged us last week that we should all be part of this upcoming Rooted launch. Because the reality is, in order for us to grow spiritually, we must be connected relationally. And Rooted is going to be the trailhead of spiritual formation here at Summit. Rooted is a 10-week commitment. It's an opportunity to get into a small group and look at seven rhythms that we can engage in order to grow ourselves spiritually. Now, I'm not going to say it's easy. In fact, anything that grows you is not easy. It is actually going to cause you to get into rhythms of devotion and journaling. It's going to talk to you about praying in a way that maybe you have not prayed before. But I want all of us to lean into this opportunity, not just to grow spiritually, but also to connect relationally so that we have a group that we can be connected to. There's only going to be two times a year for you to get connected and rooted. This is going to be the first one here in the fall, and then we'll do it again in the spring. So if you're listening to this and you're not sure, you're like, I don't even know if I believe that Jesus is who he said he is. I want to encourage you to keep asking this question and ask all your questions. Bring all your doubts to the table. And I want you to know you can go through Rooted as long as you're ready to take those steps and to actually engage in spiritual disciplines as you're learning. But if that doesn't feel right for you, go into a starting point group. Starting point is a place where your questions and your doubts, no question is off limits. You can go there and say, I don't know. Can I believe in dinosaurs and Jesus? Is that allowed? Maybe you have questions about the Bible. Maybe you have questions like, how was it made up? Maybe you have questions on why is there so many different versions of the Bible? Or, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize there's so many different versions of the Bible. Or maybe you have questions like, what does me saying yes to this mean I'm saying about my mom who passed before I or she knew about Jesus? That's a question I still ask. The reality is questions and doubts are kind of part of faith. The reality is we won't know all the answers to our questions on this side of heaven. But although we won't know all the answers, eventually we'll know enough to have faith. That is why it's called faith. That is why we step in to these spaces. We won't know all the answers, but I want you to know that everything that I talk about today, regardless to whether or not you believe Jesus is who he says he is or not, you're invited into it. You're invited to take steps forward. But again, if you're new to the church, you're new to faith, maybe you're just returning to church after a long way and you don't know if the things you've heard match with the things that you're feeling now, go to starting point. But you're invited into everything that we talk about today. So, as a pastor used to say around here all the time, take as long as you need and no longer than you have to. So, now let's consider what has God placed inside of you. What does that say about what you should consider doing next and maybe being part of in the future? A mentor of mine, John Tolson, once asked me, he said, Dan, if you had all the money you needed, well, in fact, let me say this again. John lives in Texas and he's got a real draw. So he said, hey, Dan, if you had all the money you ever needed and you knew whatever you decided you could do, you could not fail, what would you do? Wow, what a question. But then he hit me right between the eyes. He said, because whatever that is, whatever the answer is to that question, God put that inside of you. And you should go for it. That's your God-sized dream. So what bubbles up inside of you when you hear this? What has God placed inside of you? You see, God has placed a light inside each and every one of us to shine bright for everyone we come into contact with. As we read in Matthew, love our neighbor. So he can do something through that relationship. It's not what we do. I'm going to keep saying this to you. It's that we're available to be part of something so that God can do something. Hear this read in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus calls his followers to be the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth, light of the world, two substances that permeate and transform the spaces they're in, the food that they touch, the darkness that they come into contact with. In order to inspire people to find and follow the way of Jesus, we are called to be, and we can be, the light in your offices, in your neighborhoods, to your friends, to permeate and transform them. Not because of what you can do, but because of who you can be so that God can do something. Remember when I said this is not a request to do something, but a chance to be part of something? Think of it this way in relation to this passage. You can't do light, but you can be light. I can't say to you, go into that room and do light. That doesn't make sense. But I can say, go into that room, go into that dark place and be light. 10 years ago, maybe a little bit further, it was in 2011, Bishop Oscar from Nairobi Chapel came and he preached here at Summit, and he taught on this passage. And he told a story about a man who worked in a booth on a train track. And the thing about this train was that it would move through the mountains, and the booth that he worked at was right before a bridge when the train would leave one mountain and cross over a real deep ravine before entering another mountain. And the man's job in this booth was to make sure that only one train would go at a time on this track because the bridge wasn't stable enough to hold the weight of two trains. One night he was working in his booth and he was waiting for the last train to come at 2 a.m. And all of a sudden the phone rings and it was the person working at the booth on the other end of the tracks. And he said, "Stop the train, stop the train. It is not safe. The bridge is not safe. It is not secure. Stop the train." And as soon as he heard him say, "Stop the train," a second time, he could already hear the train coming around the mountain. And so the man grabs his lamp and he runs out onto the track and he starts waving his lamp and waving his lamp. And he's trying to get the train's attention to stop it. He's trying to change it. So he waves it some more and he can tell that the train is not slowing down. And so he waves his lamp more and he's jumping up and down, waving his lamp, and the train never sees him and it goes whooshing by him onto the bridge, which then collapses. And the passenger train filled with over 300 people crashes down, and everyone lost their life. A few months later, there was a court hearing to call into account what had happened, what had gone wrong. And they were talking to this man, and they were asking him, "What did you do to stop the train?" And he talked to them, and he said, "I grabbed my lamp, and I ran, and I waved my lamp, and I waved my lamp, and I waved my lamp. I tried to stop the train. I promise you, I tried to stop the train." And then he broke down with his hands, his head in his hands, and he's crying, and through sobbing tears, he said, "I waved the lamp, I waved the lamp, but my light was not lit." You see, our light being lit for the world is important, not just for us, but for those who are in our path. I want to acknowledge that something I learned years ago before I started my own regroup journey here at Summit, that wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever you decide to do next, you're going to take you with you. I know that sounds kind of obvious, but some of us, we might need to start here. You might be in a season in your life where you feel like your light is dim. Maybe even snuffed out. Maybe there's something that's stopping you from fully being who God created you to be. And regroup might be your next step. The best gift you can give your family, your neighborhood, your community, this church, is the healthiest version of you. So if you're in a season where you feel like your light is not shining and you might not have a hold of the behavior or the attitude or whatever it is that is stopping you from being everyone that you should be, then check out Regroup as your next step. So let's talk about serving locally and serving at Summit. Because in all these instances, God wants to provide light. A few years ago, I was part of the leadership team here at Summit that launched our FAM ministry. And a FAM ministry is one that supports foster and adoptive families who are doing that hard work by providing wraparound care for them. And one of our foster families that we supported early on was Jeff and Aaron Miller. And they originally stepped forward to volunteer to be part of a care community. They wanted to support other foster families, but as they sat in the class and they listened to what was being said, they had this thought that, hey, maybe this is our next step. Maybe we're supposed to become a foster family. You see, as a church, we decided in order to be part of the light that God can shine through our community, that we could support those families who are going to step forward and do these really hard things. And so we partnered with a ministry called Commission 127. And because fostering is hard and isolating, we would partner with them to create these care communities that wrap around families for people that would bring one meal a month each week of the month. And there'd be somebody else on the team who would be a mentor for the child, just be another trusted adult in the child's life. And there'd be a team leader that would help orchestrate and organize between the family and the volunteers to not put extra burden on the family, who would gather how they could be praying for them. And Jeff and Aaron heard this and they thought, well, with this level of support from the church, I think we could do this. And for Jeff and Aaron, the backstory to them was, adoption was always something they had thought about. And although they had never considered fostering, they did consider adopting before. And in fact, after they had their biological son, they started to move down the path of adoption. And something just didn't fit right. It didn't feel right. And so they didn't continue. But being obedient to this feeling they had in this class, they did decide to move forward and become licensed to become a foster family. And this is a long and hard process as well. But as they started to finish it, and because the need is so great, and because the system is so overwhelmed, like most families, like within 10 minutes of receiving their license, the phone rang. And they picked up the phone and they said, hi, we have this little girl. She really needs a place. Would you consider taking her into your home now that you're licensed as a foster family? And they asked a little bit about the girl and they came to find out that her birth date was their anniversary date. And in fact, it was their 10th anniversary that she was actually born. And they kind of considered this just like a little wink from God. And so they took this girl in, excited, energized, knowing they had the support of the church, of volunteers, ready to take on this challenge. And about 6 months into it, I remember distinctly getting a call from Jeff one day when this little girl had been sick a lot and they had missed about 30% of the days she was supposed to be in daycare. She was not able to go because she was sick. And I could just hear it in Jeff's voice. It had gotten hard. They didn't know much of the medical history. They didn't know what was going on, what was making her sick, how to keep her well. But the reality was for Jeff and Aaron, they had used up the majority, if not all of their PTO at this point. And they just didn't know where relief was. They did not know how they were going to continue and how they were going to be able to move forward. And this was the moment in the journey where things looked like, Maybe this isn't going to work out. But the members of their care community at that moment stepped forward. They stepped forward, they showed up, and they just said, tell us what we need to do. What can we do to help you? How do we shine the light through this? How do we help this little girl by helping you? They wanted to be the light. And it was the support of the church and the care community that gave the confidence to Jeff and Aaron to step into fostering in the first place. It was the care community and the support of the church that gave them the strength to keep going. if you fast forward, it turned out that this little girl was a special gift for the Millers. And although they got into fostering to help reunify, to care for this child in a time before she could be reunified to their family, that the reality was that wasn't the path for this little girl. And so they ended up adopting her. And having a heart for open adoption at the moment that they had adopted her, they wanted to seek out, was there any family they could help her be connected to throughout her life? And in that, they found Grandma. And the thing about this is a relationship, of course, formed between the little girl and Grandma. But furthermore, Grandma adopted their child as her grandson and them as her kids. You see, God always had this family in mind for Grandma to adopt. It's easy to hear this story at first and think we should point to the Millers. What a great thing they did. But the reality is the focus is on God's larger story of what he can do through that. He knew the day would come. And if you ask the Millers today, they would say, they would point to Heidi as the very first volunteer who stepped forward and said, yes, let's bring this foster ministry to Summit. They would point to Ed and Helen and Michael and Heather and Karen and Earl and the many more who said yes to just bringing one meal a month as the most important and critical part, because they stepped forward when things got hard and they knew this moment would not have come without them. So a small yes today allows light to permeate through the world and for God to do more than we ever thought was possible. Commission 127 has a saying, not everyone can foster, but everyone can care. Jeff and Aaron would encourage you to take a step and to learn more about how God may use you in this ministry through our local service. When we got into how we were going to serve as a church and how we were going to move towards the local community, a process started with a question. And that question was, if Summit did not exist anymore, if it just all of a sudden was not in the locations it has, those buildings disappeared, would it matter to anybody who was not already in Summit at that point? And this is what called us towards serving in spaces that impacted vulnerable children. This is what caused us to move towards serving in foster care and also in under-resourced school. And the reality is, I think if you ask Grandma if it matters what Summit was here or not, I think she would say yes, because this moment wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for a place where someone could say, yes, I'll be part of that, even in some small way, because God can do big things through that. And the reality is, as we move towards furthering our relationships with under-resourced schools at Summit, this is another way that you can serve locally. I ask you to move into those spaces. We are going to start creating care teams that move towards schools so that we can be the most valuable resource to these schools. And that's not money. It's relationship. Join a care team that wraps around the football team. Make pasta on Thursday night. Show up at a sports game. Work the scoreboard. Keep score. Do all the things that have to be done in the background so the parents who are there can go and watch their child perform. And just be the community to those who are in our community. Be the light. As you move towards something like Rooted, I want you to know when we talk about the seven rhythms that Rooted will help you engage in, serving is a major part of that rhythm, and you'll get introduced to the ways that you can serve locally. And so get into Rooted. Take that step towards your spiritual formation path and get plugged into how we can serve locally. And if it's not through Rooted, reach out to our local team and see how you can be part of what we're doing, being, so that God can do in our community. And for the same reasons I'm encouraging you to be part of something, we need you to also be part of our church. The reality is we wrote four names on all those light bulbs that are in our lobby, four names of people we're praying that we could be the light for, or someone could be the light for, so that they could find this church. And the truth is, the church needs to be ready. If we're going out there, if all of us, which we should, take this step this fall and we move towards being formed so that we can be the light out in our community, the reality is people will walk through these doors and we want to be ready. It is critical as a church that we have volunteers so that we could be ready. So support our children's ministry. I mean, families coming through the door, we don't have a space issue. We have a capacity issue that is usually limited by the number of volunteers we have. We want to be able to say yes to every family that comes through the door. So say yes to children's ministry. And within children's ministry, there's so much you can do. In fact, there are families who have kids with special needs that can only go to church when we can partner them up with a buddy. We need more buddies, not just so that family can come to church and enjoy church every day, knowing their child is being cared for well, but because they have friends who want to come to church. But we need to build the capacity for that to happen. Join our student ministries. We have kids that are coming up from fifth grade into sixth grade. We need boys and girls leaders. We need them in some other grades too. And student ministries is this amazing place where you get to be the light at the most transformational moment in a kid's life. Because the reality is, we all know, I have middle schoolers and high schoolers in my house. I know how critical this time is and how critical it is to have a trusted adult who me as a parent can also say, that person is also pointing my child towards Jesus. We need you in these spaces. We need you to sing and dance on the stage of BCL. We need you to run slides, do lights. We need you to go and greet at the front door. We need you to go and grind coffee. We need every little piece, planning, putting papers together in order to get ready for each week's service. There are so many things that we need you, but we don't need you to just do it. We need you to be the light here so that when people come in our doors, they experience God's love from the moment they get here, and we're ready. You know, it may even be feeling right now like, what do I do? How do I move forward? You talked about my full schedule. How do I know that this is the right thing for me to do? How do I know what God has placed inside of me? And it's a question I get here all the time. Dan, if I knew my calling, if God would just reveal to me exactly like how it was all going to turn out or what I should do, I would totally say yes. But how do I know if it's my calling or if I just have indigestion, right? The truth is, if you want to know how to go from here to there, be obedient with the 6 inches in front of your face. God right now, even in this moment, is prompting you to do something. And whatever that is, it's because he wants you to be part of something so that he can do something, whether it is big or it's small or it makes sense or not. The reality is, if we believe he is over everything, we have to believe that he is in everything. And by being in everything, that means he's in your schedule. He's in your life. He understands the restrictions and the things that cause you to shove that feeling back down and not do it. He knows that they're there. Trust him with it. Take a step forward and let him clear the way. I promise nobody looks back and says, oh man, I should have never dedicated my time to that. Because those stories I've shared with you today, there are countless stories of how God is using very small yeses in big ways to impact our world. And that is the design. Let me bring you back to the beginning of everything that we started to talk about. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Take a step, be part of something, and let's see what God will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you For each and every person who's hearing this message and is feeling stirred right now, and I imagine that might be in so many different ways, but Father, I pray that you'll meet them wherever they're at. Whether it is to revisit where they need to kindle the light that you've placed inside of them and take care of themselves in this season and become healthier, Father, whether it is to move them towards some small yes or something that you've always been asking them to do, but they just don't know how to make sense of it, but that they would have the courage and the strength to do it. And if that happens to be here at Summit or it happens to be somewhere else, wherever it is, Father, I know that if you put it in them, that it is good and they can trust in that. And so I pray that all of us, myself included, that all of us would take so seriously this commandment to love you and to let that love of you be how we love our neighbor. And I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening with us today. Remember, you can also watch our services on YouTube or at summitchurchfl.org. Those links can be found in the show notes, along with ways to follow us on social media. Now, go in God's grace and peace. We look forward to worshiping with you soon.